Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. If you live in a city in America, chances are your police force is beating up your citizenry at this very moment. I know it's happening in my city. I'm disgusted by it. I had friends who were in a protest today, and the cops just decided on a whim, out of the blue, to start tear gassing them. Later, they made up a lie, said somebody threw a Molotov cocktail at them. But there's hundreds of people live streaming and no footage of any Molotov cocktails. Anyway, I'm going to try to put that out of my mind for the next however long it takes me to yell about Raw, and maybe you listening to me talk about Raw, yell about Raw, will be able to take your mind off of it too. So, you know how this was happened in the old days? The one I remember was that, because I'm old, Aerosmith had a contract with their record producer, their record studio. I forget what, I think Geffen? I don't know. They had a contract. And they were like, you have to put out so many albums and then your contract is up. And so they just wanted to get out of the contract because they didn't want to be with that studio anymore. So in the late 90s, after they did, you know, a pretty good album called Get a Grip, they decided, hey, let's do a best of. Let's do like our greatest hits album. We'll put like two new songs on it. They'll be okay. And then we'll get out of the contract. That's kind of what last night Raw was. It was like they decided we don't want to release an episode of new shit. We're just going to do a best of, or in this case, a worst of, not a greatest hits, but a greatest misses album. Swings and misses. All of the things that make Raw Raw were there, right in our faces. Them just throwing it out there like, hey, should we, like they have like a little menu of like column A and column B, and we'll take this one and this one and this one. Then nobody makes up new dishes at this restaurant. It's just the same shit. There you go down to McDonald's and you get a burger. It's the same burger. It's just this one's got, you know, two burgers and some lettuce and a special sauce. And that one doesn't have the special sauce or the lettuce, but it's a thicker patty. It's the same fucking burger. That's what last night was with Raw. You don't believe me? Here, we'll go through it. Starts out with Seth Rollins coming out and cutting a promo to the now live crowd. I'm going to get this out of the way now. Apparently, through some reporting by both our Sean Russap and over at Wrestling Inc., the NXT kids, I say kids, a lot of them are in their fucking 30s and have been working as wrestlers all over the world for 15 years. You're required to come and cheer for Raw. We're not going to give you chairs. You got to be like, you know, go cheer for Raw and SmackDown. Oh, also, you've got to cheer for your own show. We're not going to send any of our Raw and SmackDown people to cheer for you guys on NXT. No. So you got to cheer 3 days a week. I mean, I know they were taping it, but you get my meaning. And so apparently they weren't cheering loud enough. Because somebody got on the loudspeaker in between matches and was like, you guys need to be more lively. Cheer more. Boo more. So if you're watching Raw and think, wow, this is really disingenuous. I'm watching, you know, Jessamyn and Duke go out there and go, yay! Boo! I'm watching old Stokely Hathaway. What the hell is his name now? Biggs? I forget what they called him. Because they debuted him on NXT a while ago and gave him two green as goose shit dudes to manage. Those guys were so green, they pulled him from TV. And because he was their manager, he's been pulled too. But he's out there going like, hey, yay! Oh, God, I love being a fan! It's insulting. Also insulting, they don't have chairs. They're not allowed to sit during the matches. So between the matches, while the cameras weren't rolling on them, they took a seat on the floor. They sat on the floor. And up on the loudspeaker, get up. Get up. Don't sit between matches. Get up. That's how this company treats their, I was going to say employees, but independent contractors. Yeah. So anyway, everyone's booing Seth Rollins. He comes out and he does a Raw staple, one of their greatest misses, greatest hits. He comes out and he does, I told you guys last week, and he does a meandering promo that gives us no new real information, just basically does the same thing he said last week. He said last week, I had to try and put out Rey Mysterio's eye because he was a sacrifice. He offered the gods offered him up as a sacrifice. And so I was compelled to do it. I had to do it for the greater good. He said the same shit last week, and he said the same shit this week. No new real information. That's it. They like to do that. You know, like make sure if you missed last week, here it is again in the same basic words. Like, I don't know how long they can do this with this one, but okay, great. Aleister Black comes out. He's pissed. They got a match. So the match between Aleister Black and Seth Rollins is a great match. Doesn't fucking matter. I mean, nothing matters. AJ Styles, who matters so little that they traded him to SmackDown for nothing? AJ Styles came back from the dead a few weeks ago and said, none of this shit matters, so... None of this shit matters, but Seth Rollins versus Aleister Black, great match, doesn't matter. Halfway through the match, they're about to gang up on Aleister Black on the outside, but he's saved by Humberto Carrillo, and... Okay. I guess those guys are friends now because they both like Rey Mysterio. Aleister Black only likes Rey Mysterio because Rey Mysterio was also tossed off a roof onto a smaller secondary roof during Money in the Bank. That's the only connection he has with Rey Mysterio. This, I don't know. I mean, he lists his name on Twitter as Devil's Blood. So I'm guessing he's some kind of Satan worshiper. And the Satanist, this tattooed Satanist, is all of a sudden best friends with venerated luchador, greatest masked wrestler ever, who was turning in classics and pay-per-views and WCW 25 goddamn years ago or whatever. They're best friends now because Baron Corbin tossed them both off a roof onto a smaller secondary roof at a pay-per-view last month. Now they're best buds and would ride or die for each other. Humberto Carrillo is best friends with Rey Mysterio because Vince McMahon thinks all Mexicans are friends. So unless they're enemies,
Anyway, what was I saying?
Yeah, Humberto Carrillo comes out to stand up for Aleister Black, and Aleister Black, you know, he recovers, and the match goes on and on and on. It's a long match. It's a good match. It's a great match. Fine. Doesn't fucking matter. This is a great match between these two guys. I want it to mean something. It doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. So the greatness of it is lessened. Seth Rollins comes off the top rope. I guess he was going to do his like his jumping knee thing that he does, but Aleister Black was like, "Nope, I got a jumping knee for you, right to the face." And then Seth Rollins counters the Black Mass and then tries to roll up Aleister Black, who counters it, hits a roll-up of his own, a magistral cradle, kind of a weird jackknife thing, and wins. But then Austin Theory and Buddy Murphy, who are at ringside, they jump Aleister Black, and also they jump Humberto Carrillo, and then they force Aleister Black to watch Seth stomp Humberto Carrillo, and then he stomps Aleister Black. Gosh, it's bad. It's too bad that nobody else who loves Rey Mysterio is in the building, because then they'd all be best friends and they could even the odds. Hey, remember how they were going to, Seth Rollins was going to host? He said he was going to host a retirement ceremony for Rey Mysterio. Yeah, apparently they're not going to do that. So, hey, they interviewed Shawn Michaels, who, like, with the no hair and like this big bushy beard, he could not look less like HBK, like the guy that we know from back in the day, like his feud with Bret Hart, and you know when he lost his smile with his long flowing mullet and baby face. No, he wasn't a baby face; he was a heel, but his baby face does not look like this guy. Anyway, they interviewed him about who he thinks is going to win the greatest match ever. He thinks it's going to be Edge. I got nothing more to say about that. He thinks it's going to be Edge because they told him, hey, we interviewed Flair last week and he said it was going to be Orton, so we need you to say Edge. And he's like, no problem. That's it. Totally disingenuous. One of the best parts about the entire night, Lana accosting MVP verbally backstage about how blah, blah, my Bobby, you're doing bad things to my Bobby. You know, and anyway, she's blah, blah, blah. And MVP could not care less about what she's saying. And then, excuse me, she says, you're just leeching off my Bobby, trying to revive your career. And he says, well, that's not remotely true, but even if it were, wouldn't that make two of us? Ba-dum, bum, bum. I didn't realize MVP had started doing stand-up comedy. I thought it was funny. And then, you know, Lana slapped him. Lana's terrible. She's terrible at everything. She's terrible. Hey, they interviewed Apollo Crews, who apparently gets to pick his own opponents now, just because they decided it. And he wants it to be Kevin Owens because Kevin Owens was, was nice to him, I guess. And Kevin Owens was like, "That's cool, thank you. Thank you." He's like, I'm kind of sorry, though. Like, oh, no, what are you talking about? You deserve this title shot. I know I deserve it. I'm awesome. It's been a long time since I've had a title, and it's been too long. But I'm sorry because I'm going to beat you. And so they have a match, and it starts out respectful. Oh, this is one of those matches, by the way. So we're talking about greatest hits. A greatest hit is a match that is really great, like, technically, like it's a very well wrestled match, but it doesn't fucking mean anything because it's Raw, you know? And that's it. Also, that's the greatest hit. Also, another greatest hit, two people who have nothing in common being forced together to be best friends by the writers. See Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio. Also, Aleister Black and Humberto Carrillo. And pretty much Humberto Carrillo and Rey Mysterio. Anyway, then you get a title match that you know will not have a clean finish. And here's how you know about this one. Because during the little thing they were talking about, like, hey, this comes out kind of out of the blue because I got some unfinished business with Angel Garza. You know, earlier, Angel Garza, he had been said, I think he said something about how, he's talking to Charlie Caruso. He's looking at Vegas there, and he's like, apparently Kevin Owens is not like how I attacked him last week. But I tell you what I like you, Charlie Caruso. Here is this rose I pulled out of my butt, apparently. Here you go. And you know, I just have to remind you periodically because WWE seems to have forgotten about it and thinks that we have forgotten about it. But I just wanted to remind everybody in the Fightful Faithful that Angel Garza is fucking engaged. We saw him get engaged on an episode of NXT. You showed it to us on television. He's fucking engaged. If you wanted to tell us that they broke it off, that since they got engaged, that it didn't work out because the old Angel Garza, he's got a wandering eye and he likes the ladies and his former fiance had it done. You've broken my heart too many times with your Lothario personality. And the lethality of your Lothario-ness. So I'm breaking it off with you. And Angel Garza, because he's a cad, says, oh, don't worry, you'll be back. And until you are, I'm going to go find this lady over here with the low-cut tops who interviews people backstage. Hello, Charlie Caruso. Tell me that they broke up and I'll stop talking about how he's fucking engaged. But he's fucking engaged! You showed it to us on television. On the same network. That you're showing this. It's insulting. Anyway, so because both Angel Garza brought up Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens brought up Angel Garza. You know Angel Garza is getting involved in this match. Also, it's not going to have a clean finish because they're not going to have Apollo Crews pin Kevin Owens clean. They're not going to do that. I'm almost certain they're not going to do it. It's not like a actual program for the title. And they're not going to have Kevin Owens beat Apollo Crews like a week after he won the title. No, that's not going to happen either. So you know, going into this match, no matter what happens in the match, Angel Garza is going to interfere, probably Andrade too. We're not going to get a full. That's another one of Raw's greatest misses. Booking us a title match that you know and we know ain't going to have a clean finish. So why are we watching it? It's because it's going to be good, I guess, but to what end? What is this in aid of? So, the match is fine. It was kind of respectful. And then Kevin Owens tries to do the stunner. You know, he kicks him in the gut, turns around, does the stunner. But he kicked him a little too low, a little below the gut, a little below the belt. And you can tell by Kevin Owens' reaction, he didn't mean to kick him in the balls. But when Apollo Crews recovers, he thinks Kevin Owens meant to kick him in the balls. So they start fighting for real this time. And it's a good match. It's a good match that doesn't fucking matter because who cares? Because who cares? Because, as I said, Angel Garza and Andrade run in and get involved. And then we go to commercial. Oh, and back from commercial, and this has just been made a tag team match, which is another one of Raw's greatest misses. A one-on-one match interfered with by two other people. And then we get an impromptu tag team match, player. That's such a goddamn cliche with, well, that was SmackDown, but they do it on Raw too. It's been such a goddamn cliche with WWE programming. They made a goddamn meme about it. So, another one of Raw's greatest misses. The tag team match is whatever. It's whatever. It's supposed to show that Apollo Crews is really good, and he pins Andrade, and great, Andrade was good until he wasn't, and Apollo Crews is good until he won't be. That's what they do. Who knows? Hey, so you know what's also one of Raw's greatest misses on this worst of album? Lame-ass comedy segments. This is my one of my favorite things about this whole deal. And I don't know why I didn't notice this before, but I went back and checked, and they've been doing this for a while. The Street Profits and the Viking Raiders are continuing their best of, I don't know, 99 series, a best of 99, doing stupid shit outside of a wrestling ring to prove one tag team's better at the other one at doing lame-ass comedy segments. Well, this time it's bowling. Now, on the little promo card or whatever they have, like little thing they flash up on the screen, they say, up next. And they show the Street Profits, and they show the Viking Raiders, and they show at the bottom of the screen a bowling ball and some bowling pins. And then at the very above, right below up next, they have the Raw logo crossed out, and then underneath it, it says bowling. So I think this is probably unintentional, but you just told us, no, this isn't Raw. You're not watching Raw. You're not watching wrestling. You're watching bowling. They did the same thing last week where they crossed out the Raw logo and said golf. And I'm pretty sure they did the weekend before where they axe throwing. Listen. The Street Profits are really good at being funny when they can be themselves. They're not allowed to be themselves with this shit. Right? The Viking Raiders, while they may be funny guys, like just being themselves, like outside, off camera, I'm willing to believe that Ivar and Eric, that Hansen and Rowe are funny guys. I'm willing to believe that they tell a joke every now and then. On camera, they're terrible at comedy. So what you have here is a whole bunch of stupid, lame-ass fucking sight gags. Like shit that would not have been funny in the 40s. Like, that's how old these jokes are. Like, oh, whoops, this guy, he threw the bowling ball and it didn't even hit any pins. Womp, womp, comedy. No, it's not comedy. It's called being bad at bowling. Like, no, it doesn't look it, but I used to work out a lot. Back in my early 20s, I used to lift weights all the time. And I have a bicep curl injury. Doing bicep curls, right, you know, with way too much weight. I was trying to impress people. And there's a tendon in my elbow that when I lift things like this now, it doesn't feel good. I can actually feel the tendon slipping over the bone while I make this. It's not great. And I'm a righty. This is my right elbow. So I can't bowl with my right elbow. So when, you know, friends were like, hey, we're going bowling, I'm like, oh, cool, I get a granny bowl. Or I get to, like, aggravate this tendon injury that I don't want to go have surgery on. So I suck at bowling. And there are a few times that I have bowled a gutter ball. And it's always hilarious. Oh, and you threw a gutter ball, and it's just that's a joke. That's a joke. It's a comedy thing. It's a comedy thing. It's not. It's just somebody being bad at bowling. But I mentioned that the Viking Raiders are wearing like blue war paint to match their blue bowling shirts. At one point, they can't find the ball. It hasn't been returned through the ball chute that comes, you know, where it comes back to you. And they're very upset. So they reach you to try and find the ball, and Ivar pulls out a turkey leg. Oh, turkey leg. You're always turkey leg. You're like the fifth character in these shorts. You're always there, a recurring character, turkey leg. But the best part about it, and why it's so fucking stupid, is that Ivar seems shocked to find the turkey leg there, as though somebody else put the turkey leg there. Who else came to the bowling alley before these guys and shoved a turkey leg in the Returno Ballo? What? Other gags include drinking goat's milk. It's a Viking tradition, which I don't know that it is. Pretty sure they have cows in Norway. But I mean, like, all this is really stupid. And then the twist, the Viking Raiders are really good at bowling, and the Street Profits are really bad at bowling, until they yell over at the old guy who runs the bowling place, and they're like, hey, flip the switch or whatever, we want the smoke. And then he turns it into cosmic bowling, you know, when they turn everything into black light, and then it's all glow-in-the-dark bowling. And because they like to party, the Street Profits are better when it's cosmic bowling than they were when it was regular bowling. And long story short, too late. The Viking Raiders beat them by 1 point when Eric, like, bowls Ivar, who is holding the ball all the way down, and they hit a strike to win it. And that's it. And so I guess it's 2-2, which means, I guess, best of five, hopefully. I don't know what they didn't say what was going to be next week, did they? I don't know. I tuned it out. God damn it, this was fucking bad. They are your tag team champions. That's one. And the other team, when they were tag champions, they went into Survivor Series and they beat the UE and the New Day in a triple threat match. You said, these guys are really good. We're going to decide they are the best tag team we have under our umbrella, not named Gallows and Anderson, who won some stupid gauntlet match in Saudi Arabia that one time at Sands of Time. That's it. So if it's not Gallows and Anderson, who, whoops, they got fired, then it must be the Viking Raiders. They must be as better than everybody else. So your best tag team and your current champs are stuck doing lame-ass comedy segments because Vince, like, the concept of tag team wrestling ran over Vince's puppy when he was a kid, and he's never going to let him live it down. I don't understand. So, Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss are defending the tag team championships against Bayley and Sasha this week on SmackDown, which is probably one of those title matches that you know isn't going to have a clean finish. So it's weird that they're also having a few, but remember back when the women's tag championships wouldn't even get on TV for months? Now they're feuding on Raw and on SmackDown? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not that Vince hates tag team wrestling. He just hates men's tag team wrestling. Anyway, it's Billie Kay versus Nikki Cross in a singles match to further a tag team feud and build momentum for a future championship opportunity, maybe somewhere down the line. That's like five greatest hits right there in this worst of album that they're putting out last night. Billie Kay beats Nikki Cross. I was really excited that they replaced Jerry Lawler with Samoa Joe, but they've neutered him entirely. Like, he's just there to be like, I think Billie Kay is good. And Byron Saxton says, how dare you? I think Nikki Cross is good. Well, we'll have to argue about that through the entire match. And that's it. There's no nuance, no edge to Samoa Joe. That's it. That's all there is. So I guess Billie Kay built momentum for a future title opportunity somewhere down the line. I don't know. There's a really good .com exclusive, which you can find on Twitter, which means it's not .com exclusive, where they interview Billie Kay and Peyton Royce after their match last night. And they're just so good at these. These should be broadcast on television. They really should. Like, record it after the match, then set aside 2 minutes to let them be great. Impromptu great. You don't want them to get over. This is the only thing that I can comprehend is why you would be hiding this quality content. Hey, okay, so here's one. You know how it's all fun and games until you bring a man's family into it. You leave my family out of this. That's basically what most feuds are about. So somehow Rey Mysterio took Seth Rollins trying to put his eye out and made it about his family. My family had to watch that. Well, I mean, they could have changed the channel. I mean, also it was taped. So you could have told them not to tune in that night, you know, Rey. So, I mean, anyway, Rey Mysterio is not retiring. He's wondering if he should, but he does not doing it. So there's no retirement ceremony. So that was the thing that they pitched ahead of time. Seth Rollins hosting Rey Mysterio's retirement ceremony. And they're not. That's not what's happening. But he's interviewed, you know, from his home live via satellite. And he's talking about, you know, the prognosis for his injury and blah, blah, blah. And talking about how bad of a person Seth Rollins is. And then in comes Giant Dominic. I missed you, Dominic. I don't think we've seen him since Brock Lesnar F5'd him into the next century back at Survivor Series. But Dominic's there, and he's really angry at Seth Rollins. And then so he starts talking to his dad in Spanish. That's how you know they're serious. They're having a conversation in Spanish right in front of us. They don't want us to know what they're saying. But if you've taken, I don't know, 2 weeks of intermediate Spanish, you know what they're saying. Whatever. It doesn't matter. And it's just a weird thing that he's like, hey, chill. Chill. Mijo, chill. And Dominic doesn't want to chill. But anyway, Rey Mysterio staring directly into camera, giving a very serious promo. Damn you, Seth Rollins. Damn you, Seth Rollins. Damning another man because he forced you to force. He tried to put your eye out, which forced your family to watch you have your eye almost put out. Damn you, Seth Rollins. And then Ramsey gets up and leaves. And Dominic gets a chance to test out his promo skills. Didn't go too well. He's like, Seth Rollins, you're a man of scripture. Is he? Wait, are you taking this whole Messiah thing literally? No, I don't believe that Seth Rollins is a man of scripture. He's not actually a Messiah. I don't think he would even purport to actually be like a guy of any one religion. That's weird. But he's like, you're a man of scripture. An eye. For an eye. I think they told him to pause because that's the line delivery. That's what they tell you to do in WWE. Go and get a pause near the end of your speech. But he paused too long. And Seth Rollins, you're a man of scripture, right? An eye for an eye. That's how you say that. You don't do, hey, Seth Rollins, you're a man of scripture. An eye. For an eye. It's just, that doesn't work. It's not good. It's bad. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's bad. This has been my TED Talk, which I give every week here on Sour Graps. My TED Talk entitled, Don't Do It. It's Bad. Dominic, don't do that. It's bad. So I guess we're going to have Seth Rollins versus Dominic at some point. I mean, maybe the kid has been working out like crazy and has just gotten so good at wrestling since Survivor Series. I mean, it's been several months. It's been like, I don't know, 7 months. He's been training all the time, but like maybe they've got, I'm assuming Rey Mysterio's got a wrestling gym or whatever in his house. And during the quarantine, Dominic's just been lifting weights like crazy and doing, you know, agility training or whatever. Maybe Dominic is amazing in the ring now, and he's ready to make his debut and fight for the honor of his father versus Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. Or maybe he sucks as much at wrestling as he does at giving promos. I don't know. They interviewed Asuka earlier in the night about Charlotte, and Asuka was very confident about beating Charlotte because, as she says, Asuka gets better and Charlotte stays the same, which, I mean, I don't know, maybe. Then they interviewed Nia Jax and she made fun of the Kabuki Warriors and she says that she's going to expose Asuka as a villain, which I don't even know what that means. So, Amber, that was also the Nia Jax and Asuka. Also, there's one later where Drew McIntyre backstage interviews that don't give us any new fucking information. You know, just like, do you think, what do you have to say ahead of your match with so-and-so? I believe I will win the match. That's it. That's all it really is said in these things, you know? So-and-so isn't who you think they are, and I will expose them. How? In what way? What do you... Ugh. So Drew McIntyre says that anybody who wants to fight him should line up and he'll give them all a ticket to Claymore Country. He's doing the thing they did with Becky Lynch a while back where they just they're having him just be really, really overconfident, which is fine if that's the storyline you're doing, that is like it's hubris. And he has to learn humility to be a better whatever. That's fine. If that's not what they're doing, and it's just like him being an arrogant son of a bitch, and you think that makes us want to root for him, I don't know. I like him wanting to fight people. But the idea that, like, you know, it's just, it's, there's a fine line between confident and arrogant. You got to walk that line. But if you teeter too far over an arrogant, then there's no fun. So Rob Gronkowski, as we know now, wanted out of his WWE contract that he probably shouldn't have signed if there was even a chance that he was going to go wherever the hell Tom Brady went and come out of retirement. So, yeah, everyone hates Gronk in WWE, and he's probably never going to come back. And, oh, that was too bad, because you know what? You know what's going to happen? If there even is an NFL season, because, you know, hey, remember the thing we were all concerned about before police started, you know, shooting poison gas at people in the street? Before that, we were all concerned about this plague that was going around. Yeah, it's still happening. And it's only going to get worse because a bunch of people are out protesting the, you know, police being dicks. So it's only going to spread more. So who knows how many hundreds of thousands more people will be infected come the fall. So if there is an NFL season, Rob Gronkowski, just based on his last few seasons, will be out for the season by week 5. And probably out for his career. And wouldn't it be nice if he did have something to fall back on, like WWE? Wouldn't it be nice if he didn't burn all his bridges? Too bad. Listen, I don't fucking like WWE, the company, the corporation, but Gronk's a bit of a dick. He's just a bit of a just a bit of a dick. Yeah, anyway, they hate him. So they had him do a stupid lame-ass comedy segment. That's two now, putting two different unrelated lame-ass comedy segments on one episode of Raw. That's Greatest Miss on the Worst Of album of Raw. So he's doing a... he wants to do a TikTok dance. It's going to go viral. I don't know why Rob Gronkowski cares about going viral. He's Rob Gronkowski. Okay. I mean, are you doing it to, like, raise money and awareness for Black Lives Matter? Maybe he is. I don't think he is. Anyway, he wants to do a TikTok dance. And he's got a friend with him. This guy who just oozes Massachusetts. And he's like, come on, Gronk, stand over here. I'm gonna take you the videotape you with my phone. And Gronk does a dance, and there's a gardener conspicuously over there flipping mulch, is what his Rob Gronkowski's friend says. Oh, don't worry about him, he's just flipping the mulch. Okay. So Rob Gronkowski turns around and shakes his ass a little bit, then turns around and sees that his friend, again, Rob's friend, has unzipped his pullover, and he's wearing a referee shirt. And I don't know how WWE does things, but it seems to me that shouldn't it be an official who is officiating this impromptu 24/7 title match, and not just like some dude, one of Gronk's goons that put on a referee shirt? Anyway, Gronk realizes too late what's happened. And Rob Gronk and R-Truth sneaks up a hole, rolls him up, and says, I think you can't get a touchdown if you don't flip your mulch. But it might have also been you can't keep the weeds down if you don't flip your mulch. And I don't even know. I know flip your mulch was one thing. And I really hope they get an R-Truth shirt that says flip your mulch. So R-Truth is now 24/7 champion again. Great. Can we retire this title already? It's fucking stupid. Nia Jax defeated Kairi Sane. Nia Jax almost crushed the skull of Kairi Sane. Nia Jax has some big heat backstage with some people. You don't need Nia Jax. If she's got that kind of heat and can't stop from injuring people, A, put her in a program with somebody who's not one quarter of her size. Listen, I'm willing to extend Nia Jax some benefit of the doubt. She seems like a nice lady who has no concept of how strong she really is. She does not know her own strength. She's chucking Kairi Sane all over the goddamn place. There was one thing where she snuck on up on Kairi Sane while Kairi Sane was playing the recorder a couple of weeks ago and threw under a road box so hard that I thought Kairi Sane was just going to explode into dust. And in this match, she throws her into the ring steps. They had to stop the match in real life and close up a terrible gash on Kairi Sane's face. And then they restarted the match. They edited in where the ref was like checking on her. She picks up Kairi Sane, rolls her into the ring, does a leg drop. We never actually see the wound on television that she gave to Kairi Sane. They banned the buckle bomb because Nia Jax, I mean, I don't know that they're doing this, but it seems like they're doing it because of Nia Jax trying to buckle bomb Kairi Sane and almost breaking her neck. Now, I wonder if they're going to ban throwing people under the steps because Nia Jax can't fucking get that right. Put her in a program with somebody who's not the size of her thigh, and maybe she won't be able to throw them around as easily. Okay? Like, here's what you do. Here's what you do. Okay? If you want to bury her because you think you can't trust her anymore not to hurt people, you put her in a feud with Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair's first real feud on Raw is versus Nia Jax. And Bianca Belair gets to show us how strong she really is by going up against Nia Jax and beating her handily. And then you slide Nia Jax over to main event, have her squash jobbers that you're paying $50 a night. There you go. I just solved your problem for you. Asuka comes out to get in the face of Nia Jax, who runs away. Talk more about that in a little bit. Also, you have Bianca Belair and you're putting her on main event. Also, you have Shayna Baszler. And 2 weeks ago, she tapped out Natty in a submission match. The week before, she beat Natty with a vicious knee strike. Last week, you had Natty in a triple threat match to find out who's the number one contender for Asuka's title. Last week, you didn't have Shayna Baszler do shit. This week, you didn't have Shayna Baszler do shit. Are you cooling Shayna off because you didn't like that she looked so good in beating Natty twice? What the fuck? Why would you do a mini program between her and Natty where she beats Natty twice? Then Natty gets what should be Shayna's spot in this triple threat match to become number one contender. And Shayna's just off television. Oh, I should let it play out. We'll see what happens. Plans change, you say? Fuck you, I say. Be smarter than this. Think one or two steps ahead at minimum. You should be thinking six steps ahead, but I know you're all idiots, so how about thinking two steps ahead? Randy Orton cuts a promo about how Edge is right. Randy Orton doesn't care. He is coasting. He has no passion for the business. And even though he doesn't care and has no passion, he's still the guy that Ric Flair says is the best to ever lace him up. So his point isn't, think of how good I would be if I did care. His point is, I'm the best ever, and I don't even have to try. So why would I try? And Edge, it eats you up that you tried every day of your life so hard, and you're still not as good as me. I mean, fine, it's a heel promo, but it's also just him saying, basically, it boils down to, I believe I will win the greatest match, excuse me, the greatest wrestling match ever. He says, I'm going to win that. But I think it would be newsworthy if he said, I don't believe I will win. So, okay, good. Let's just get that over with, please. My greatest match ever. Jesus. Charlotte cuts a promo about how all the women at the PCs aren't good enough. And she wants them to become the next Asuka so she can beat them the way she beats Asuka. I guess. Charlotte Flair defeated Asuka by countout. This was a good match. These two women are incapable of having a bad match against each other, but it does not matter. Champion versus champion non-title match when we just saw Charlotte lose a match to Bayley, a champion versus champion match non-title on SmackDown last week. It does not matter. Who cares? No clean finish, distraction finish. A distraction finish is the greatest hit in the entire lexicon of Raw's greatest hits. The distraction finish. Nia Jax shows up and Asuka is on the outside before she can roll back in. She sees Nia Jax, who is wearing Asuka's mask, and then takes off Asuka's mask to reveal she's wearing Asuka's eye makeup and mouth makeup. And so Asuka stands up like, I don't understand what's happening. Am I looking in a mirror? And Nia Jax runs her over, and there's a count out. I mean, at least you know they're positioning Charlotte Flair as the heel over all women's division right now. And the way you know that is because Byron Saxton hates her. Byron Saxton hates heels and loves baby faces. So Nia Jax dropped Asuka's mask on her and whatever. That's it. In the least important match of the entire night, Drew McIntyre, the fucking champion of the entire fucking WWE, had a match versus MVP, who is the manager, basically, of the guy he's facing at Backlash. Not Payback and not Paylash and not Backback, but Backlash. He beat MVP. You know. Lana showed up before the match to cause a distraction because she felt like she found a loophole, like Bobby Lashley, who she believes was put up to this by MVP. Lashley told her, don't come out in my matches because you're a distraction to me. But what she thinks, well, he didn't say anything about me coming out during MVP's matches. So she did. It didn't really amount to anything. She just stood there. And then Drew McIntyre hit MVP with a Claymore after a match that happened. A match that took place and pinned him. And then Bobby Lashley showed up and put Drew McIntyre in a full Nelson. And that was it. That was it. That was Raw. I guess the greatest hit from that one would be like a person showing up with their music playing, walking down to ringside and then doing fucking nothing. Not even getting involved. Yeah. Oh, also, champion being beat up by his challenger as we go off the air. What will happen next week as we move toward Backlash? That's one of the greatest hits of the thing. That's it. That was Raw. The best of worst of album of Raw. Whew. Guys, be safe out there if you're going to be out there. And if you're not going to be out there, find some other way of supporting the people who are out there. If you can. It's rough. It's been Sour Graps, and I have been Alex Pawlowski. Everything, and I do mean everything, fucking sucks.